What is going on? You are listening to Tags Podcast, aka Talk About Gay Sex Podcast. This is episode 451 of the OG Sex Positive Podcast, celebrating 6 years of podcasting. I'm your host, Stevie, alongside Lincoln. How you doing, Lincoln?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, always rounding us out is Cody Maurice Doggett. How the hell are you doing over there in Brooklyn?
Hello, darling. You can't see me, but I just put my hair to the side, my long, luscious locks, darling.
Okay, Missy. Yes.
I'm feeling the fantasy. I'm feeling the fantasy.
You know, we get to create that for our listeners. I love that. Okay, on this Monday before we drop it on March 28th. You know, I have to start something because we were all out this weekend and music matters. I was talking to so many different people. I know you all went to a party over in Brooklyn called Horse Meat Disco. Mm-hmm. And I went out to the Eagle here. You joined me, Cody, last night. So music good. Was so good last night, but I couldn't help. Music does matter at times. Now, there is something to be said about kind of the place that I was at, which can be, you know, see your old friends, talk to the bartenders, get in a dance here and there, have some fun in the back room, rinse and repeat. But you guys were at sort of like a dance party, and it's the consensus seems the music wasn't that good. Music really does matter, doesn't it, Lincoln?
Of course, especially when you're going out to dance, right? And yeah. I have to say, I said this last night, and it was weird. I said this to like five people on Saturday night at Horse Meat. And then today, the person I was talking about at Horse Meat walked into the bakery, who I haven't seen in over 4 years because of the pandemic. He now lives in Washington. His name's Anthony. He's fabulous. And when I first went to Horse Meat, literally they were playing Donna Summer mixed with Blondie, mixed with Madonna, mixed with Sylvester. Like it was 70s.
Sylvester.
Yeah, it was 70s and 80s pop music mashed together. That's always what, you know, that's what it was when Anthony Vicaria, I never say his last name right, and he's like a big model guy. You guys would know his face if you saw him. He's like the face of prep, and he's done a lot of great campaigns. And he came in today and he's like, oh, was it great? And I said, no, it was like trans music to warm up. And then it kind of went all over the place. And then after we booked our Uber and we're walking out, we heard Sylvester. And I was like, now you're playing it at 3:45 in the morning? You lost me, honey. Come on. Yeah, music does matter.
Music matters, yeah. Right, Cody?
Oh my gosh, 100%. Me and Lincoln were there together. We met up. We had a great time. I mean, like, with each other. But the music was never there for us. So when they started, like you said, when they started to play the good music, that was when we already had our coats on. We was at the door waiting for our Uber. And we weren't going back inside. Yeah.
Well, don't start the party at 3:45. Come on. Not when tickets are at a hefty price. Come on now.
But I will say also, like, Horse Meat, any place to me, I'm not disagreeing with you, Stephen, but I am bringing up that I walk around and chat with people too. Like, the venue, the Knockdown Center, is really great. It has, like, picnic tables and a whole empty room, but you can still hear the music that people sit and talk and do photos. There is a lot of walk around and chat. So I kind of do treat it like the Eagle, but the music should be a lot better. A lot better. So maybe next time.
I hear you.
The music at the Eagle, though, I've got this one great recommendation. I've been singing it in my head all day. The Jackie Moore song.
Yes. What's that song?
This Time. I have to send it to you because I've been listening to it all day. It's everybody in my brain.
When you're in New York, Sundays at the Eagle is a lot of fun. Oh, particularly at Sunday Fun Day Tea Dance. Great music. Super fun.
Was the roof open already?
Roof was not open yet. Roof was not on fire yet, but that's to come. Coming your way in a town called New York City very soon. Well, we love it when you guys write into us, and David wrote into us. I should have asked David where you're listening from, but he wrote in, said, subject, thanks for helping with my recovery. Hey guys, I just want to give a big thank you for helping me on my road to recovery. I had a bicycle crash that resulted in a bunch of fractures, 2 surgeries, countless therapy sessions, and lots of hard work. I listen to your podcast as I do my therapy exercises at home. You give me something to look forward to, and you get me through the pain. And I am happy to report that there is progress every day. You are always entertaining, educational, and cute. I just wanted to share this with you so you know the impact you are having. Thank you. I have listened to every episode for the past several years and will continue to do so. Thanks again. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, David. Wow. We love those.
I love that.
You know, and you know what?
Especially David, the cute part.
The cute, yeah. And I know Lincoln can relate. I can relate. After last year's, my broken ankle, my God, I was on this couch still doing the show, mind you, but life was different. And I was just reflecting on my time in therapy. I did all my therapy too. Whenever you guys have like an accident, you have to do physical therapy. I mean, you cannot let up on that. I mean, we can get an amen from Lincoln, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually just went to a new, I went back to my surgeon. Everything's fine with all the surgeries I had prior to the pandemic. And then I went to a body physiologist to work on my lower back and the trauma that happened to my body because of all the surgeries and before. And I've started physical therapy again because I realized that when I had this, I don't know if I've said this on the show, but when I had the second hip replacement replaced again, so I've actually had 3 hip replacements in my life. I came out of, people came here for physical therapy, but it was, you know, fine. And then I started at a physical therapist on March 1st of 2020.
Oh,
so I literally had a week and a half and everything was shut down. So I came home and did it at home. And then I jumped into teaching when classes started up again. And certain things are just not firing like they should be. And I went to 2 physical therapy appointments and I already feel a difference. So it's amazing what the body can do when you do the right things to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Agreed. Well, thank you, David, for writing in. You can always write into us. Go to tagspodcast.com. Okay. So much to talk about. But first, we got a shout out to Madonna, who just added a Nashville tour date. So we all know she's on her, about to embark on her celebration tour. And she just added a Nashville tour date. Why, you ask? Because she's calling out anti-LGBTQ state laws and don't fuck with a drag queen. So the celebration tour with her opener, so she's going to be opening up with Bob the Drag Queen. And I know, Cody, you're super excited about that.
It's
legendary. grows to 80 dates in North America and Europe now. And she did it all because of after Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed a law restricting drag queens in the volunteer state. Tennessee Senate Bill 3 creates a new felony offense for anyone engaging in an, quote, adult cabaret performance on public property or any location where the performance could be viewed by a person who is not an adult. And in announcing her plans to perform at the Bridgestone Arena on December 22nd, one of 9 new shows added to the sellout tour that now stretches to 80 cities, dates across North America and Europe. So pretty cool, Lincoln. We got to start with you on this one. What did you think that she is using her tour like she always does to send a message?
I think it's great. Of course, I think it's great. How could I not? How could anyone not? And I really hope that this tour is extremely successful for her. You know, I've seen a lot of the recording of Taylor Swift's tour. online. Uh-oh. And a lot of the graphics and a lot of the visuals, and I am not a Taylor Swift fan, so there is no connection to the music.
My friend just texted me about that, and he said, "You're not a Swiftie?" I'm like, I could be if you create a playlist, maybe. We do not want to make the Swifties upset.
Every time someone says that, I think of like a Swiffer that picks up dust, and it just is not the best. It's so bad. It's so bad. That's all I see is this little pole with a white napkin on top. I'm a Swiftie. Anyway,
oh my God.
I know I'm offending people. I don't mean to offend people. You attack Madonna, not me. It's fine. I'm just not into it. But the graphics and some of the, you know, it's a big touring time with Beyonce and Pink and Taylor Swift and Madonna and Depeche Mode, Janet, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be a great, it's going to be a great year, just like on Broadway right now. There's a lot of great art coming out because it's finally coming back.
Billy Porter's going on tour, by the way.
Yeah, he's going to be at the Beacon. So that it's going to be an exciting time. And I think Madonna will hopefully start closer to on time and will have a really great, fun show. That's all I'm saying.
Cody, what do you think about her playing? What do you think of her, about Madonna playing in Tennessee?
First of all, I'm in love with Lincoln Shay today. He's just sprinting wide, and I love it. It's thick, it's wide. I love it. Bring it on. I love it. I'm going to be laughing all this entire episode, I feel like. So, yes. About going to Madonna. I love her. This is how you are an ally. This is how you're an advocate for underrepresented communities, like the LGBTQ plus community. I got to include that plus. Come on now. She's been doing this forever. She has a drag queen on her tour opening up for her. She is one of the girls. She is a true and tried ally, and I'm so proud of her. Thank you so much, Madonna, for all that you do for us.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, moving on to drag queens that have made an impact. Darcelle. So there's a drag queen known as Darcelle, the world's oldest working drag queen. Not my words. Died at 92.
Oh,
wow.
And just recently, Darcelle died Thursday, was crowned the world's oldest drag queen performer in 2016 by the Guinness Book of World Records, and was entertaining audiences up until the very end. And as a performer, Darcelle was known for hosting the longest running drag show on the U.S. West Coast. Offstage, Cole, an Army veteran, championed LGBTQ plus rights and charitable organizations. Oh my goodness. Darcelle, rest in power. My goodness. Man. That's so cool. So, you know, 92. That's pretty good.
And doing it until the end. That is so beautiful.
Yeah, that's, I think, probably the thing that, you know, and made it into the Guinness Book of World Records, too. So
that's really
take
cool.
Take that, right wing. And, you know, my goodness. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about what's taking away our rights and in a little bit later, but we do have to do a little bit of not warnings, but there are a couple stories that are kind of back to back, starting with Grindr for our international audience. So Grindr's warning Egyptian in Egypt that warns that Egyptian police may be using fake accounts to trap users. So Grindr, like I said, warning that police are allegedly using fake accounts to entrap those seeking dates on the platform after a spike in arrests of LGBTQ people last weekend. Quote, "We have been alarmed that Egyptian police is actively making arrests of gay, bi, and trans people in the digital platforms," said a post that Grindr had been sending hourly since Monday to its users in Egypt. Quote, "They are using fake accounts and have also taken over accounts from real community members who have already been arrested and had their phones taken." That's crazy to me. Yeah, so they're arresting these people using their, yeah, right. I want you both to comment on both of these. The next one related is, this is good news. Six gang members who preyed on men at New York City gay clubs have been indicted for drugging and murdering two. We've reported on the two members that have lost their life last year. Warrants were issued Friday afternoon for the arrest of three of the men for first-degree murder, while all six men have been hit with a chance of grand larceny and first-degree robbery, as well as conspiracy to drug and rob at least a dozen victims. Umberger, 33, and Ramirez, 25, died from acute intoxication from a mix of fentanyl, cocaine, ethanol, and other drugs. This is really good news that because we've been talking about this latter story for a while now of people going into New York clubs and drugging, luring people outside, whether it was for drugs or for other parties, drugging them, putting their face up to the phone, getting into their phone. Sometimes there were stories of guys having 10, 20,000 in their accounts. And I believe it was this story. These two guys that they are indicting had actually used the money, get this, to actually go to expensive dinners and spa services. Mm-hmm. That's what they used it for?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's sick.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Cody, I mean, do you want to comment on either one of them in Egypt or in what's going on and that the good news here?
Well, I just want to say that I'm happy that they caught the people and we can all breathe a little bit easier. I don't know if we can necessarily relax because there are still predators out there and they may not be out there all the time trying to get us constantly, but I feel like, you know, people, ne'er-do-wells are going to be out there no matter what and where you are. So just please be careful. And I'm glad that they got these guys. As far as in Egypt with the Grindr, that's crazy to me. So I just want to get it straight. The police are using Grindr to arrest people for being gay. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, they're actually using. Yeah, exactly.
That is insane to me. I can't imagine going and to what I feel is a safe space and having it used against me to prosecute me for me being who I am. So my heart and my prayers go out to those people over there in Egypt that are having to deal with this type of persecution.
Absolutely. Yeah, Lincoln, what are your thoughts on either one of the stories or tap into both?
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is I think in New York City, the amount of people that were actually drugged is less than four. And one is not acceptable. Don't get me wrong here. But we do have to have a warning.
Two deaths.
And there were like two, or maybe it was only two. I don't know if other people, I'm not sure. But it's not, I just want to always bring in the fear and that it's happening a lot. Because it isn't. We have to be smart. We have to be, you know, aware, and we have to keep our hands on our own cocktail. Hello. But just to keep it in perspective.
Not on your own cock, though.
Well, you can. So there's that. I also just think it reminds me of how great we really do have it in this country. You know, we really have turned into a complaining society more and more and more than ever. And social media makes that worse. People rant about everything, it feels like. And there is so much real good in the universe, truly. And this country is, we've made such great progress. It's not always going to be smooth sailing, but it just, especially like Egypt, it makes you appreciate America a little bit more. Even though it's not perfect, and even though there's crazy things happening in Florida and all over the place, you know, we're really lucky.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Totally.
Okay. Staying in international news, you know, we got to talk about Uganda because Uganda's parliament passed some of the most sweeping anti-LGBTQ legislation in the world. Same-sex acts were already unlawful in Uganda, but on Tuesday of last week, lawmakers voted to ban identifying as LGBTQ+, or the so-called promotion of gay identity. And in a packed chamber, lawmakers overwhelmingly voted in favor of legislation called the Anti-Homosexuality Bill, with only two of the nearly 400 representatives voting against it. Same-sex acts were already criminalized in Uganda under British colonial-era laws, but this new legislation goes much further. So-called aggravated homosexuality, which includes sex with someone who has HIV, could incur the death penalty. And that already, like, was I can't believe they went to this great lengths.
Yeah.
To just identifying as LGBTQ. And now that is punishable by law. But here in the States, and we do love Lil Nas X, we reported on so many great things that he does. I just love him. However, not so in love with his recent comment that he tweeted out, his last two recent ones, but we'll focus on this one. The recent one he posted just after this went into law in Uganda, "Where do the gays be in Africa? I want to come there." And, you know, it shocked so many different people, and many of our people calling it insensitive, especially after Uganda announced the harsh punishment of even identifying as being LGBTQ. Somebody else wrote, "The gays in Africa are in hiding most of the time. They are not like this and don't want you putting a target on their backs." Somebody else wrote, "I can't believe the ignorance that gets called influence these days." Cody, what were your thoughts about Uganda and then, of course, with Lil Nas X?
Yeah, this is just kind of insane to me because it's like they're actually trying to they are actually outlawing our existence in these countries. And it is just mind-blowing, mind-boggling. The only country that I see that has some progressive views as far as LGBTQ plus people are concerned is South Africa. They actually have same-sex marriage instilled there in that country. But it's just really, really sad. And as far as Lil Nas X in that tweet, sir, please, I need for you to be able to catch up on the news and make sure that you are, you know, aware of what's going on before you tweet something. I know that he likes to push the envelope a little bit, but this was just too far. And it really screams of insensitivity. And I'm not with it. So I think, yeah, I hope it's pedaling back just a little bit and apologizes, because I don't think he meant any harm about it, but I just think that it was the wrong time and the wrong message.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Lil Nas X is in a period right now. He has such an influence in music in general. He is one of the LGBTQ plus artists today that is really huge. And that is a big feat in and of itself. But I think, you know, with that comes responsibility on what you put out there. And like you said, Cody, keep up with the news. And this is insensitive to what's going on in Africa. Why are you going to say that when people could die just for identifying as LGBT? You have freedom and rights as little. You have way more freedom and rights than many of us will ever see. And you're going to put that out there like that? No, not cool. I don't know, Lincoln, what were your thoughts when you heard about Uganda or Lil Nas X's
Well, comments? One question I have, and again, very ignorant here. Africa's a big place and Uganda is just part of it. Correct?
Yeah, Uganda's just a country on the continent.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, South Africa. It is, I've been to Johannesburg. I have very not, freeing. I mean, not freeing, but I had a great time going out there, but not in Uganda there.
Right. So like Jamaica's not the most friendly place to gaze. Not this bad, not to this degree. So, you know, I do think it's obviously horrible. And I circle back to the point I made with the last story, which is we're so grateful to be in America. And I hope that things turn around there as soon as possible. I don't think Lil Nas X did any favors to this story. I don't know how often he watches the news. It could just be bad timing. I'm hoping that it's just bad timing and that he does dial it back and apologize for it. But it's just, you know, sad. People just want to live their lives and love one another. So it's just sad.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, you toss it, dice it, sad. So yeah. Absolutely. All right. You know, I'm really interested in this next story on if you guys use this tactic. But there's I don't know if it's a word going around called hardballing. And what it means is the premise is simple. Be very clear about what you want from the beginning in a relationship. So, in other words, for all people looking for love, this tactic is called hardballing. And you kind of treat it like a job interview where you essentially say all the things that you expect and want in this relationship, essentially. this is simply a romantic relationship. You lay out all those things. Hardballing can also sound entitled, according to some people, because you're really putting out all those things out there. For those set on finding their forever mate, this doctor said, I think it's about trying to find a medium place where you can say that you are really only interested in finding a compatible long-term partner, but you don't make your statement so specific. Hardballing, you do make it very specific, like a laundry list. I'm curious to see with you two who are in long-term relationships, did you hardball Lincoln with Pita, your fiancé? And say, this is what I'm about. This is, you know, you got to take my class if you date me.
No. He does, but that's not part of my hardball. I think I kind of did because remember, I don't know if you remember this.
I kind of felt like the answer was going to be yes.
Yeah. I'm getting older and I'm realizing, like we all are, but I'm realizing I don't want to spend time with people I don't really like anymore because I only have so much time left. I don't want to do a job that I don't love anymore because I only have so much time left. So why not be around the people that understand? I'm tired of justifying my life and justifying who I am or trying to explain who I am. That was for my 20s and my 30s. We're beyond the 40s at this point. It's time to be with people who see you for who you are. And why pretend like I can cope with things I don't really like when there's someone else out there? So I being direct has never been my problem.
I mean, it worked for you. I mean, my gosh, you have a fiance. So I think the stars were aligned with you and that's really cool. I don't know, Cody, did you hardball with Joe on things that, you know, certain things that you have to have on this thing and certain things you will not tolerate?
I thought we were talking about something else. You said hardball, and I try to hardball him as much as possible. But no, we're talking about actually. Yeah, no, I'm not the hardball one. Joe is the hardball.
Okay. I wasn't going to say anything, but.
I mean, you don't need to. I put it all out there on Front Street, y'all. I do think that I have certain conditions of satisfaction because, like Lincoln was saying, as you grow older and you become more accustomed to being in a relationship and what is acceptable for you and what is unacceptable for you, you do kind of line out what you want out of a relationship. And the more you put that out there and you make that something that's you make it known that that's something important to you in your relationship, the better off your relationship will be in the long run. So I do think that I hardball on certain things, but other things I'm very easygoing about.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about it. I mean, I think I change all the time every year, but I do agree with hardballing if there's certain things in life that you really want. So say, for example, you really want children, kids, right?
Yep.
Well, you need to put that out there, I think, earlier on, because that's a biggie for so many people. Somebody once recently told me, you know, Steve, I think you would be a great dad. And I'm like, you know what? I agree. Not in my wheelhouse right now. And I don't think that's where I'm headed. But I do think I could be a good dad. But if somebody told me that they really wanted children, I would be like, well, you know what? We should probably finish this lovely cocktail and part ways. And you know what? And maybe I'll be a great uncle. But, you know, not in my wheelhouse. And so I just think there's certain tried and true things that are really important. But for other things, you know, I think it's slim pickings out there if you really want to date. When I'm going on a date, the last guy that I was dating didn't drink very much. Well, guess what? I like a cocktail. I'm drinking some wine right now. But you know what? It wasn't a biggie for me. I just thought that's okay. As long as he doesn't mind that I have a glass of wine or two per night and I do like, then I'm going to forego that. So I do think you got to be flexible because you're not going to find everybody you know, you might find somebody that likes Taylor Swift and you like Madonna.
Girl.
And, but there's a Beyonce concert to be had, and there's Janet Jackson and my, you know, Billy Porter, and oh my gosh, there's so much going on out there that how are you ever going to be aligned with the stars? So,
well, the only thing I will say is that there were, sorry, I interrupted you, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, anyway. No, not at all.
Is that I might have been very hardball about certain things, but those things are now not as important. So they've kind of shifted in my mind. Like I was like, oh yeah, I want to go, you know, do these parties in Berlin, and I don't want to ever give up Bear Week in P-Town, and I don't want to ever give up this and that. And in all honesty, the pandemic kind of shut down a lot of those things. So we were going to go to those things together, and it couldn't happen because the pandemic stopped them. And now they don't seem quite as important anymore as they used to. So I do think certain things kind of shift as you mature in the relationship with the person that you found. So I'm all for hardballing and telling people what you want and only getting what you want. And there's a big difference between having kids and not having kids. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But that glass of wine might not be as important to you after a while. And that person might say, oh, you know what? I'm not an alcoholic. Having a glass of wine is not a big deal. And you guys might enjoy doing that together in balance with one another. Is my take.
Yeah. And I think what one of the therapists said is maybe not hardballing, but softballing. And I kind of like that. And yeah. Did you have one more comment, Cody?
I was just going to say that I feel like if you hardball the type of lifestyle that you want to lead, and you kind of, because relationships are all about compromise. So you have to compromise on the other things that are in life that maybe you do a certain way that this other person doesn't do a certain way. So yes, hardball for having kids or I don't know, the type of job that you want to have, but the things like washing the dishes this way or fold the way you fold your clothes. Oh my God, me and Joe got in this argument about folding clothes. It was not cute, but I mean, you have to learn to let these things go, and everything is a compromise in a relationship.
Yeah. And you can also, just to piggyback off of what you're saying, you can learn a lot from a partner that might be better. Like, oh, I didn't know. Maybe not folding clothes, but
no, my way
something
is
a
best,
little more
always.
Interesting. But you know, oh wow, I didn't think of this. This would be a fun thing to try, and you know, you learn so much from your partner too, I think, as time goes on.
I agree, but my way is the best always.
Of course it is, Cody. Of course. Well, lastly, I couldn't help but talk about this. This topic has come up in Reddit, but it's also come up with my neighbor. We were talking about it briefly last night, Cody, on bottoms who don't get hard during sex. And I couldn't believe I found the Reddit threads that supported it. But my neighbor was recently telling me that he felt that as a top, whenever he had a guy come over a bottom and they wouldn't get hard, but they would have this great sex, he took it very personally. He took it as though, what's going on? And he was telling me, and I was saying, you know what? I think there are a lot of bottoms that just don't always get hard, but they are, believe me, enjoying the experience. And he has taken it very personally to think that, you know, I don't know. If you're not hard, you're not interested in what's going on. Well, it recently popped up on a Reddit thread and I had to send it to him. One wrote, bottoms who don't get hard during sex. Hey guys, I just wanted to know how you feel about bottoms who don't get hard while getting fucked. I'm mostly a top, but I dabble in the bottom game. The thing is, I don't get hard while it's going on. Even during the foreplay rimming, it just doesn't do anything. Part of me thinks it's a dominant thing, that my body is in, quote, getting used mode. Anyway, I just want to know what you think about people like that, and if it's a turn off or anything. And people had a lot to say, and let me just piggyback it off of another one that wrote, why do I lose my erection during anal? And people wrote in, your body moves its focus from one area to the next. One interesting thing, and I was telling my neighbor before we he invited me over down the hall for a drink, and we were talking about this, and I explained to him, one Reddit threader wrote, you know, as a top, this guy wrote that when I'm fucking my bottom, the anal region relaxes, like the muscles relax. So he encourages his bottoms to kind of come earlier on, because if they're going to like fuck all night long, get it out of the way sooner, because as the anal muscles relax, you may not be able to come. So do it earlier on. And sometimes they refuse because they don't want to like come too early on. But I've come early on and then continued to have great sex all, you know, for hours afterwards. Maybe not hours, I'm bragging, but you know, but I don't know, Lincoln, what are your thoughts on this whole conversation about, do you need your bottom to be hard and erect? Does it matter to you? What are your thoughts?
No, of course not. It's not the way people are built at times. Sometimes the moment a person starts doing anal, then their dick can't stay hard. It's not personal. It's certainly not an editorial of if they're stimulated or not. I've seen toy videos, fisting videos, every video in the world. And it's very rare, unless you're on some hardening substance like Viagra or something, that it's going to stay hard. I don't think the body really works that way usually. So to me, it's more common that a bottom is not hard than they are. Like, mm-hmm. when they stay hard, I'm always like amazed. I'm like, wow, that's cool that you can do that. I certainly can't.
You're a unicorn.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it is an interesting theory, Cody, because, I mean, yesterday, I mean, we were out and I stayed a little bit later for extracurricular activities. And I was so horned up with some of the stuff I had. I did not come and... You know, TMI here, but, you know, hey, we're a sex podcast. I played with my dildo later, and I was hard with the dildo, and it, you know, but I was also hard recently because I was, like, thinking of my neighbor, and I was like, wait a minute, am I hard when I get fucked? I don't know. And then I was like, no, I'm hard some of the time, but not all the time.
No.
So it's you know, I told my neighbor to relax and not take it so personally. And no, one guy actually wrote, Cody, on mm-hmm. one of the comments that he doesn't even, when he's bottoming, he doesn't even really think of his dick. It's his ass is the sexual organ.
Wow.
Totally.
That is amazing. Totally. That is so interesting to me. I think that when you have sex, as far as me bottoming and, you know, being hard, I'm not quite sure if I've been hard before. I think that I
think back to 1994.
Oh my gosh, it's been so long. I think that I was soft when I was getting fucked, but I've had sex with plenty of bottoms, and some of them are hard or some of them are soft. And it doesn't really matter to me as long as they're having a good time. And there are other telltale signs that can really guide you down the right road, tops, to let you know that your bottom is having a good time. So as long as you are having a good time as a bottom and you are enjoying that big dick up your butthole, then you go right ahead and don't feel the pressure to be hard. And like you said, Steve, sometimes the bottoms don't even come. I think that every time that I've had sex, though, the bottom has come. But whatever. It doesn't matter. I just think
sometimes
that...
they pre-come, too. And that's the whole thing.
See, there's so many signs out there. So have a good time. Have the most sex that you can. And just be safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to give a caveat to my neighbor who said, you know, he thinks he will have that conversation in the future. Like, hey, do you do this? Do you not? So that, because I think for whatever reason, I think his feelings were kind of like not hurt, just kind of wondering, are they enjoying themselves? But if they're moaning, I think they're enjoying it. That's your telltale sign. So
And the squirming too. I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. So much fun, you guys. You know, we couldn't end the show, though, without congratulating our co-host, Lincoln. Lincoln, congratulations for last week's Knicks game where you were celebrated for the Protein Bakery. We saw some of the videos. I mean, what was that moment like, just in a nutshell, if you could just share with our listeners?
Sure. It was really fun. Chase Bank, in conjunction with the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, featured Protein Bakery as a small LGBTQ plus owned business in New York City. Long live New York City and small businesses, which are the lifeblood of this city. And so many have gone out of business. So it was such a privilege and an honor to be. I got a grant for my business. They also gave me a chunk of money to do whatever I wanted on game night. And game night was March 20th. And we passed out 5,000 Protein Bakery items to the crowd. We had a booth with my story to the right and the left of me in the booth. And then they did a full photo shoot with me and an interview, which they printed and put next to me on the booth. But then they also put it up on the Jumbotron at the Garden and announced it over the loudspeaker. So it was very, humbling. And also, it was humbling, but it was also very reassuring of all the work. I mean, I've had this bakery for 20
rewarding
years. You know what I mean? Yeah. Rewarding. It was like, wow, hard work pays off and this feels good.
And you recently guested on a podcast. What can you tell us about that and where can people find it?
There's a podcast called Someone's Thunder Podcast, and they feature actors and performers and people that are personalities and kind of let them share their story. And I had a great interview for almost an hour with the two women that run the podcast, Angela Pierce and Stephanie Clapper. And they're, one of them's an actress, one of them is a casting person, and just really, really a fun little chit chat. But I will say, I got off of it and I was like, did I talk about gay sex at all during it? Because I'm so used to doing that. Turn the conversation back to anal without really realizing it. And I did not. So I'm happy to say I did not.
All right. Ooh, nice.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. I know. How dare I, right? Thanks, Bunny.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you. You can always follow Lincoln. You can follow him on his Protein Bakery. Just go to Instagram at Protein Bakery and follow his personal account at Mad Lincoln. Follow Cody at Mr. Maurice or his life coaching at KMD Coaching, and follow us at Tags Podcast or my personal account, I am_Steve B. And we are live Wednesday night on our brand new home over at Crowdcast. The best way to get to that is just to go to tagspodcast.com just go to Tags Live. Our brand new home, it's going to look a little different, but we promise it's a brand new home and you will love it. And yeah, let's get into it. Let's have some sex in our new home. Let's christen it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In the meantime, let's continue to have hot
gay sex.
Lovely.